Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? Welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast. It is Monday, the 22nd of May. The duo is back for you folks. You've missed us. If you were tuning in on a Friday podcast for patrons only, you would have already been enjoying the dynamic duo being back together, discussing all of the juicy bits of what has been a fascinating league campaign. La Liga Santander has not officially come to an end, but there's a newly crowned champion, and we discussed the dramatic exit of Real Madrid at the hands of Man City of their beloved Champions League trophy. So it's Monday, folks. It's the Monday blues. It's Monday hangover. And I got a inclination, I got a feeling, Kian, that we're going to be discussing non-football matters on this Monday podcast for all of our listeners. The weekend saw Barca receive the league trophy. If last week, Monday, they toured the city with a symbolic league trophy, celebrating the league win with the fans, this time they were able to do it at the Camp Nou with the Camp Nou faithful, as they were handed the 27th league trophy. After 4 long years, Barca were able to hoist and once again celebrate becoming Spanish champions once again. That game ended with a 2-1 win for Real Sociedad. Of course, Imanol Aguacil still on the mission to finish this team in the Champions League spots. They reclaimed, or they solidified, let's say, their position in fourth. And meanwhile, Valencia and Real Madrid duked it out, intense as always, as Valencia was trying to claw their way out and stay safe of the relegation zone. They managed to do that with a 1-0 victory, but all of the headlines, all of the talking points, all of the questions, most of the questions even in Xavi Hernandez's press conference in build-up of match day 36, which will start tomorrow, were about the topic of racism. Unfortunately, Kian, we have to talk about it again. It's unfortunate. We do it far too often. Like I said, I got a feeling that we're going to be discussing most of the pod this topic as well. You said you're downtrodden. I am not in a celebratory mood, neither myself. So let's open this can of worms. I know you've got some things to say. You probably want to get off your chest, off your mind. And yeah, man, it's sad. It's sad that once again we need to be talking about this. Again, Vinny, again, the crowd, you know, getting into it with the Brazilian football player. Before we press record, I quickly managed to skim over the front pages, digital front pages, let's say, of the local newspapers, and an article that stood out to me. It's actually being reported by ESPN Brazil, is that the famous Etorno, the famous surrounding of Vinicius, the people surrounding him, his posse, let's say, are trying to convince Vinny to move over to the Premier League and escape the madness that he has to deal with and face and be part of every weekend when Madrid plays away in another stadium. So he's not the first player, he's not the only player to have gone through this, but the fact that we still have to talk about it at this point is concerning.
Yeah, I mean, I told you off air before we started recording, I'm feeling a little bit down today. I don't know if it's a combination of just everything that's happening and the sadness that I feel with everything that's happening, but also just low on energy and maybe lack of sleep. Just feeling a little bit down today. And I asked you to navigate this podcast, which is a thankless job. It's a hard job to do on a day like this. Things to get off my chest. I mean, you
I don't know if I did justice to it neither. I didn't necessarily bring the heat. So my
I don't know.
Apologies.
I wasn't listening. I'm sure you did good.
You weren't listening.
I was listening. I mean, I'm half listening because as you were talking, Real Madrid right now released a new statement on this whole issue. And I was reading that. But you said that I probably have things to get off my chest. I oddly don't. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that needs to be said has been said and is quite obvious. This stuff is horrible. The response from the league is horrible. Everyone who comes out with the whataboutism and, oh, well, just like anybody who in just has an ounce of defending of the way not only this has been dealt with, but also the racism itself. It's just, I think that's part of the reason that I'm so down. While it's great to see, look, in moments like this, what tends to happen is you see a lot of people get exposed and you see a lot of the people who have the right head on their shoulders also come out. So you see a lot of the right messages come out. You see a lot of the right things being said, but you see a lot of just junk and disappointing things that just break your heart. And you see a lot, and this is, I think, what's kind of gotten me down the most, whereas you see a lot of people preface their wording by saying, but, or this, or like just making excuses. Like, for example, well, racism is bad, but, or, you know, it's bad that fans of the Messiah did this. However, anytime you say however or but to justify any racism, you've lost all credibility. Bottom line is, this is really disgusting. It's been happening for a long ass time in La Liga. It has an entire history of racism. The way that the league president has dealt with this is an absolute joke. Fighting with Vinicius on Twitter instead of actually dealing with the problems, basically telling Vinicius he's wrong. And it's just been really disappointing to see so much of the response, so much of this is how it's dealt with. Diego, you and I are so passionate about La Liga as a whole and making sure it thrives and everyone is good and the ratings come back and all this stuff. And, you know, we have a few stars left in the league. One of them is Vinicius Jr. It's not, I mean, in his tweet, he said that, you know, this used to be the league of Messi, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, and whoever else he listed as the stars there. And now it's the league of racists. And, Javier Tebas, who should, you would feel, have the best interest of the league, instead of kind of agreeing with them, he's gone the opposite way, doubled down on his stance and started to talk about like these, oh, it's only isolated incidents in La Liga, these 9 isolated incidents that he listed off, completely ignoring the fact that really this happens every week. This has happened every year in Spanish football. We have many, many precedents of this. If you want to keep it to Real Madrid and Barcelona, because that's what you and I cover, we can. But, you know, whether it was Roberto Carlos, whether it was Samuel Eto'o, whether it was earlier this year with Juan Cala, who was also doubled down. There's something ingrained in the league, and they allow the racism to happen because they don't take it seriously, and they justify it as this is, you know, part of our culture, or this is, you know, look, I'm really happy to see Xavi come out and say the things he did. I'm really happy that basically the entire world who is sane has come out and defended Vinicius and talk about how this needs to change, this culture needs to change. And it's just so disheartening to see that the people in charge have zero interest in actually fixing the issue and just making a mockery of themselves in the league. And I wonder when you look at the stars who are looking in, coming to La Liga, you know, Vinicius obviously said in Brazil, the perception is that Spain is a racist country. You think about the emerging stars coming out of Brazil who will look at these situations and maybe just look the other way and like, I'll go to another league, or the other players, superstars from other leagues who could potentially sign in La Liga looking at how this is handled. It's just, yeah, kind of like it just got me down all day, and my energy is just kind of low because of it, because I just feel mentally drained and exhausted, and I can't, and I'm obviously not the victim. So if I'm feeling that way, imagine what Vinicius feels trying to fight all this stuff alone. And we saw the images, the videos of him and the emotion he was experiencing when the entire stadium was basically chanting racist stuff at him. So I can't imagine what he's actually going through.
When did this happen against Valencia in this incident?
What do you mean? Like the timing of the game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good job. Sorry. My son just walked in and told me about something he saw on TV. When did the incidents in the game, like what minute?
Yeah. Right. Like what, at what point did it reach boiling point?
Well, I mean, I think it started trickling in outside the stadium before the game, where there were chants of mono. And for everybody, all the righteous Valencia fans saying, no, we said tonto. Okay.
Well, that was in the stadium,
but also just stop with this silly excuse and justification. I said tonto, like, how about the actual sounds of the monkey noises you guys make? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to, that excuse in itself is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it started in, you know, at that point, I guess. So
clearly, I mean, so outside of the bus, Vinny was point blank the main target for the provocations. And am I saying that right? Provocations?
Yeah.
The taunting. Yeah. And that carried over into the game. The game was heated.
You mean the fans continued. Are provoking Vinicius?
Correct.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, Diego,
my only, and this is not a but or a however, but what you were saying before, anybody justifying it, and I mean I haven't seen anybody justifying it. The only part where maybe I don't want to say feel attacked, or maybe, you know, feel the need to at least correct Vinicius in stating that La Liga and Spain are racist. Spain is a racist country and La Liga is racist. You know, painting such a large brush is not doing Vinicius any favor neither, meaning, you know, in the sense that Vinicius is a clear victim of repeated racial abuse, 100% no doubt about it. We've been firm and adamant and consistent and clear in saying we, Churros, Diego, Kian, anybody with a sane mind condones this type of behavior. There should be full emphasis on eradicating racism, any type of racism, homophobia, xenophobia from stadiums, from society as a whole, in all walks of life, in all fields, in my opinion, in our opinion. And punto. That you know, that is the primary stance. And that needs to, that should have been dealt with. That should have happened decades ago. Because I can remember this problem, you know, persisting and insisting and being, forming a part of, I can say, football and Spanish culture for far too long. Because I will say that even, you know, as a Spaniard, as a half Spanish person myself, my eyebrows get raised and have been getting raised and continue to get raised. And I feel the need to jump in, to correct, to educate, to at least try to make aware of people, even if it's tongue in cheek, even if it's a slight joke or whatever it might be, with these types of comments that are 100% racist and should be deemed racist and have no place in society. But I feel bad for the majority, because I do think it is not the majority. And when the marketing now is, you know, if what Vinicius says is true, and that in Brazil the perception is that Spain is a racist country, my reply would be, well, the majority aren't. And that doesn't, I don't want that to come across as a justification. But I do, I simply want that to be drilled home, that we are still talking about a minority, and they are a problem, and they have been a lasting problem. Son un lastre. They are a burden on, you know, the reputation of Spain and La Liga internationally, and they are hurting, damaging the image tremendously, you know. But yeah, I mean, the only thing is that, really, you know, the saying that everybody is, or the generalization of the entire country is, you know, and I understand, you know, and I can understand Vinny, because está hasta los putos cojones. He must be so fed up and tired of it, constantly hearing it, and to a point where, you know, obviously, like, I mean, am I expecting him now to remain calm and rational in his reactions to that, and painting a racist brush over all the, you know, all of us Spanish people in that way? You know, it's probably also very understandable, but yeah.
I think these are semantics. Like, anyone with a sane brain knows that Vinicius is not saying every single person in Spain is a racist.
But if he puts that, that's what he put on his Twitter, or that's what he said in a...
No, he didn't say that. But when he says Spain, we're basically, what we're talking about is the institution of saying Spain, the systems that is implied in, is the way it's run in Spain. You can see it. And you said, like, you haven't seen much of that in the media. Look, the entire Valencia media, for example, today and last night.
I said I haven't seen it in the media? No, I didn't say that.
You said something about, like, you haven't, I forget what you said, really, but it was, okay. But basically, just to clarify, I can't remember now. My brain's not working, possibly. But the entire Valencia media and a lot of the Spanish press today and last night was about making Vinicius the bad guy.
100%. They were a full-on, like, call it damage control, or pointing the finger at Vinny, calling him the instigator and everything, yeah.
So that's part of the system. That's part of... Yes. And like, it's... When Javier Tebas comes out and reacts the way he did, that's part of the system. That's part of the ingrained Spanish racism. Like, that's part of it. So for us to come out and speak like, and start diverting and I think distracting the conversation from we need to fix racism to Vinicius shouldn't have said that, I think is the wrong thing to take away. Like, listen, in Canada, for example, Canada is deeply rooted in racism. Okay, I'm going to speak about something I really like. It's the country I was born in. in Canada, we basically wiped out and eradicated every single freedom and killed the indigenous people in Canada. There's a lot of racism here deeply rooted, and it's taking years and generations of trying to change that and trying to change the mentality in Canada. A lot of these people who are fighting in Canada obviously are not racist, but they understand that they have to change things in Canada. It's the same thing with Spain. A lot of people in Spain who are just trying to change things are clearly not racist, but they understand that there is racism rooted within the country. It doesn't mean that every single person in the country is racist. It means that we have to work hard to eradicate this and change it. And I don't think we should get into the semantics that I think every sane person knows that Vinicius is not saying every single person in Spain is racist. And I think that's where the Valencia media got caught up. For example, the Spanish media got caught up last night with the journalists, the Valencia journalists who challenged Ancelotti in the press conference and said, you know, it was tonto being said, you don't understand Spanish, you're getting it wrong, all this stuff. And look, Diego, the thing is, how are we supposed to feel about this when going all the way back to that derby earlier this year at the Metropolitano, when before the game, they hung the Vinicius doll off the bridge? From that point on, it's only gotten worse instead of getting better. Like, what are we actually doing about this? I agree with Xavi completely today where he said, I would have stopped the game. We should stop the game. Mm-hmm. Like, how is it normal? Again, I'm going to just paraphrase what Xavi said. How is it normal that these guys show up to work and thousands of people are just chanting racist insults at you? Like, that doesn't happen at your office, right? When you go into... like, that's... it's crazy that this is completely normal. And we're told to suck it up, that this is part of football. You got to have a strong mentality. You got to deal with it. And like the guys, like just there's a heartbreaking video footage of him just, you know, getting teary eyed, hearing all this. And then he's supposed to stay calm. He's supposed to, because if he reacts, he's the bad guy. And we saw it. Speaking of racism, how does it make sense that Hugo Duro puts him in a chokehold, Vinicius defends himself, and who gets the red card? Like, that's part of the deeply rooted racism. Like, that's part of it. That makes no sense, man. And Vinicius is the provocator.
Do you think Vinny getting a red card has to do with racism?
I just want an explanation either way then. Because why is it that Hugo Duro is allowed to choke him and get nothing, and Vinicius is getting a red card for defending himself? And then he's the bad guy. That makes no sense, Diego.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like, I will be so sad if he actually leaves Real Madrid, obviously. But I would understand it completely. I would understand why he wouldn't want to play in this league. I really turned on La Liga. Like, I don't... this is the league like I grew up watching and loving and kind of ignorant to the racism. Like when you get older, you go back and see the historical things. Someone like Khamenei, for example, is another one. There's been many. But then you see how like nothing changes. Like I don't like it makes me like not want to just get excited anymore to, oh, it's the weekend, La Liga's on. Like last night was painful, man. Like it was.
But Kian, it's been so long lasting, you know, for way too long. And it's not there. I think Xavi said it really well in the press conference. It's not about shirts, you know.
Yeah.
Because all the players of color, unfortunately, I cannot speak for all the players. But again, in all my years watching, this has been far too prevalent for far too long. I would say that it's often times aimed at specific players, you know, whether it's, you mentioned Khamenei, I mean, yeah, I remember, for as far back as I can remember, really, Rivaldo, Kluivert, Eto'o, Dani Alves, of course, Roberto Carlos, so many players over the years that have suffered this type of abuse. And I say that it's targeted towards specific players because I am unaware or oblivious or ignorant to this being a consistent lynching, you know, or witch hunt towards all black players. And by that, I mean, I feel like the ones that are targeted are the ones that are either the most threatening to the rival fans or the ones that are easily triggered. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Tchouaméni, Camavinga are suffering a similar sort of consistent abuse.
But it doesn't matter. Like,
No, it doesn't matter. My point being is that I feel like the targeting is very specific consistently towards these type of players. Again, the ones that are the biggest threats for the opposing team or fans, or the ones that they know they can provoke some sort of reaction out of and either get their, you know, 5 minutes of fame or desquiciar, you know, get the player mentally checked out from the game or whatever it might be.
I mean, obviously, I'm like, you know, only there could be a lot, Diego, that we don't hear about. And it doesn't have to be a star. Like, Diakhaby is one from earlier this season. Or was it last year? And by the way, he turned out to be the villain too. Juan Cala said, no, this guy is lying. And that was it. And so, again, just to reiterate, it only needs to be one person or two people for this, or even just one person for this to be taken seriously and deemed abhorrent racism. But there is many examples. There are many, many examples in many, many years. And lack of actual meaningful action. And I'm sure lots of incidents that we don't hear about. And it hasn't been just stars, man. It hasn't. Yeah, I don't even really know where to go from here, but because this is just going to be evolving. As I said, like La Liga just released a statement as we were recording, quite lengthy too. I have to just kind of go over it, but
saying what?
Supporting Vinicius, bringing up examples of the past and also thanking for a lot of the stars like Rio Ferdinand, Mbappe, Neymar, Kaká, etc., coming out and speaking about it. Mm. Disappointed in the Federation, Rubiales, because the refereeing, no forceful action has been taken from the referee to correct their mistake from VAR for, you know, I they didn't word it like this, but I assume Well, here's the wording. Just yesterday, the referee and those responsible for the VAR evaded their responsibilities and made unfair decisions based on incomplete images, which were not seen in their entirety, which were biased, and which led to the direct expulsion of our player Vinicius Jr. I mean, that's obviously another layer to this, right? VAR only showed the referee the image of Vinicius retaliating and not the image of everything leading up to it for some reason, like, which is insane, because you think like when there's like a brawl like that, you have to go and find out where it started, what happened, what were the sequences that led up to that happening, all that stuff. So, yeah. You know, condemning no action from the Federation at that time. And
It's very sad that we are not advancing with this topic, and that it is occupying, you know, that every week we have to go over this and you know, discuss these kind of incidences. I don't know how the Premier League eradicated it. But
I don't think they have.
Whatever
I mean,
whatever
I,
they did,
I don't think the Premier League is.
Well, they were. It was a deeply racist league in you know, the '70s, eighties. The big change really started happening in throughout the '90s and the turn of the millennium. But you don't. It is not as. I mean, it's far. It's a far cry from being as prevalent as it used to be. That's not to say that the English aren't racist, or have racist tendencies ingrained in their society. And again, I'm not painting a general brush here, but at least in my 7 years experience of living there, it certainly is still existent. And so is it everywhere. I mean, and that's, you know, another. What really rubs me the wrong way as well is, for example, everybody coming out to condemn it is doing the right thing to come out and publicly condemn it and showing their support for all players of colors. But some of these players that are coming out condemning it shouldn't go on and then vote for extreme right wing, deeply racist political parties like Bolsonaro, because then it's like, well, then what the fuck are you? What are you actually standing for? But you know, not that I want to digress now in a conversation of who's being a massive hypocrite and why, but. I guess what I'm trying to illustrate and highlight is, I think for all of us to move forward as society and to take the right steps, we need to then abide by, you know, preach. What is it? Do as I preach. How does the saying go exactly?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but you're essentially, I think, talking about virtue signaling.
You can't be denouncing racism on one side and then be, you know, doing public stunts and promoting, again, a racist political party led by Bolsonaro in Brazil, and act like you're on the right side of this debate in this case.
Yeah, I mean,
so like we all have to do better in society to eradicate something as serious and concerning as racism that still is so prevalent in today's world.
Well, you talk about what steps can be taken. Again, I think it has to be way more drastic and more self-reflection can be needed. Valencia can put out statements about, oh, you know, we condemn it and we found a fan. Like,
well, what I heard is that these two fans, or two fans that had been identified, have been expulsed for life.
Yeah, that's a good step.
That's a good step.
It's I think you have to be even more dramatic. I think you have to, I mean, hopefully they can identify many more, because we obviously know there were way more than two. But I would go as far, like, if Valencia are not going to take further action than this, La Liga has to come in and basically give any stadium like this, just give them a stadium ban.
100%.
Because what that does is forces clubs to really, 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 really monitor and audit who is entering the stadium.
Yeah. 100%. I never understood why that is not a thing.
Yeah. And again, I said this many times, and just to reiterate what Xavi said, just leave the field. Stop the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was kind of like just diving into another part of this. I was disappointed in... I have been disappointed all season in our own players and also our own club for not backing him up more than they should. It felt like finally they did to just because the PR was getting so bad about the club's not the club not actually responding. And while I'm happy today that they, you know, they did get Vinicius and Florentino in a room, it felt kind of like, all right, let's turn the camera on, put Vinicius and Flo in a room.
Very much had that.
You know what I mean? But regardless, great that they're taking it seriously. You know, last night, Benzema made an effort when a bunch of players led by Lucas Vazquez were going to the sideline to confront that fan. Militao was there.
Yeah.
A few other players. Benzema comes over and says, let's go play football. And I just felt in that moment as the captain that football should be secondary.
Right, right.
I don't like, no one should be told to go back and play football when you're suffering that kind of abuse.
I gotcha.
Felt like a different message was needed.
The captain.
Yeah.
Standing by his side.
And Benzema should know, you know, like he...
Yeah, he would have suffered his deal, his share of racism.
I mean, he's
Algerian in France.
Exactly. He's a Muslim Algerian in France. He should know, like, what... I mean, he does know in some capacity.
Yeah.
And so he should sympathize with Vinicius a little bit more in that situation, I think. And also, you know, much has been said, you know, what if there was a different captain and all this? It is a secondary part of the discussion, to be clear. But it was just something that I observed and said, I think in that moment, going back to play football should be a secondary thought. And if you don't want to go out and fight with the fans in that moment, that's fine if you want it. But I think an alternative message would be, let's get off the field instead of let's go back and play football.
Yeah.
My two cents. I've never been in that situation, obviously, as a professional footballer. So I don't like to do that thing where I start criticizing players for acting a different way necessarily, because Benzema inherently hasn't done anything wrong. But sometimes the moments of leadership, I think they just need to be navigated a little bit differently in those moments.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If I'm not mistaken, that's what Samuel Eto'o did, and Dino accompanied him in the game against Zaragoza, I believe it was.
Yeah.
They walked off the field. They walked off the field and then eventually came back. But, I mean, we've seen these images too much, man, too much. And it pains me. It pains me so much because I hate that my people have this reputation and are becoming or have been internationally known to have serious racist tendencies. And, you know, I know it's not the majority, but I do recognize that it is still far too much ingrained, deeply ingrained in society here. And something drastic has to happen before other drastic things happen on the pitch, where we see players get injured or altercations with fans. You know, we saw bananas being thrown at Dani Alves, which he picked up and ate, which kind of like almost diffused the tension, if you will, because I don't know if I would have been so witty or cool at the time to have had, you know, I say me, you know, obviously not to put myself in the shoes, but I mean, another player of color could have reacted far more differently, and it would have been appropriate, as in, you know, kicking the shit out of the fucking idiot that threw a banana. And I feel like if something drastic doesn't happen, by drastic, I mean measures taken by those with maximum responsibility, so from the clubs, but also primarily the league, as you mentioned, the federation, banning the entire stadium, you know, for 10 games. Banning all the audience from attending any home games for the next 10 games or more. I don't know. I don't know, you know, where you want to put the bar, how you want to measure the degree of severity of a punishment, but it has to be severe in order finally for there to be changes. And it hurts me, man. It hurts me for Vinny. It hurts me for all players of color that suffer this type of abuse. And we say players of color, but we can talk about, you know, homophobia as well. It's still astonishing to me that only one professional football player in the history of football has ever come out publicly stating that he's homosexual. And the reason for that, I think, is pretty obvious, because you can imagine the amount of abuse that a player would receive coming out. And based on what we see from you know, audiences or certain sectors in the crowd today and age. And it's disheartening, man. And it's saddening, yeah. And like I said, I in the beginning when I mentioned, you know, I didn't want to say like, oh, Vinny shouldn't do that. But I don't know how to, you know, I'm very clumsy in my phrasing sometimes. So I didn't know really how to put it there. It was more of like, it is sad that it has to come to that, where, you know, an entire country and league is now deemed and branded as racist. And like you said, I mean, it could have further consequences where players will think twice before joining a team in La Liga in the fear of, or, you know, and we see that in Spain, we see it in Italy, where players have been in tears for the amount of racial abuse that they receive. And, you know, I think the time has come, or the time has passed rather, for there to be serious punishments, rules, and actions to be put in place and rolled out immediately, you know, immediately, so that we can stop this at the root and just force a drastic 180 degree change and shift, starting with football and hopefully society as well, because, you know, many can learn from this. Many need to learn from this.
I just want to say, like, I think the response of many people have also been the right message. And Rio Ferdinand I just put out a video too, and he says something like, he verbalizes it well, where he says, like, Vinicius is someone who brings joy to a lot of people, you know, around the world with the way he plays, the football he plays. And we should just be able to focus on celebrating that and enjoying it, you know. But instead, we have to deal with a lot of just people like this, idiots who are ruining the game. And it may not change until players just come out and say, look, I'm not playing this weekend. It may be the only thing to get people's attention.
Let me ask you, can I jump in here with a thought, a question? So where do we draw the line, right? We heard Xavi talk today about insults football players have to endure. He has to endure we hear hijo de puta, all kinds of insults, son of a bitch. We hear puta Catalunya, Catalan piece of shit, etc. Or where do you draw the line? Like, I mean, where...
Well, racism.
I mean, for me, none of that has a place in football, to be really honest. I have never gone to a game of football and sat there and just been on like a rampant spree of insults. Like, I, of course, I've been mad. You boo, you whistle. That's how you display your disapproval of the other side. Let's say I've never insulted anybody in the game of football.
Yeah, well, of course, like, obviously you're right. I mean, any game you go to is not immune to that stuff. I mean, it's basically from 1 to 90, you'll hear it. But I think you have to come up with some kind of guidelines. Anything that comes from a place of hate, which is targeted at people's identity, anything that has to do with racism, xenophobia, anything like that should be zero tolerance. It's absolutely disgusting. I mean, like, banter is fine, you know, banter is great, but look, there's two sports I watch, football and basketball. Not a chance in hell any of this stuff would have been tolerated in the NBA. If anything like this happened, there was monkey chance in the NBA, what do you think would have happened? That night, it would have been taken care of. Yeah. And I'm not saying the NBA is perfect, doesn't have its own problems, but like, there's no chance like any of this stuff would be tolerated the way it is in La Liga. In La Liga, you gotta go like these processes, as isolated incidents, like, and still there's no action to be taken. Like, and so and this is part of this goes back. It's deeply ingrained and rooted, and it's going to be hard to change, but it has to be changed, and it has to be changed by something, a dramatic response like Vinicius in the middle of the game going to the referee and saying and pointing out the fan to his face. That stuff was important. I'm glad Vinicius did that. I think another action would be just stop it. Everyone walk off, 100%. So that's where we are, man.
When I say I've never insulted, I've insulted plenty of players at home from the couch. My point being is, like, I would never think of going. I think there's something, you know what I mean, right? I mean, we've all, like, let's not be hypocritical here. We've all, you know, insulted opposing players and teams. My point is, like, at a game, it never occurred to me to be like going full force. Because, you know, the hate inside of me drives me absolutely crazy, and to go on like this insult spree. I mean, people that do that, they cannot be, you know, they're not good for society. They have a screw loose in them. They need to get some help. Like, they need some mental support. Well,
but also, this is the other problem. Yeah, of course. But it's not even just that. They've been told their whole life that this is okay. Like, they actually feel, yeah, like, imagine how much of a scumbag you have to be to genuinely feel that you are genetically superior to someone else.
Right, right,
right,
right.
Mm-hmm. And they've been told their whole life it's okay. Like, you know, oh, it's part of, you know, in this culture we can do it and do this and do that. We're not racist, you know. This is the way we grew up. We're not racist. Look, we have black friends. This is all part of the problem, that people actually think this way. So again, more dramatic, more dramatic changes. I think the only good thing that comes out of stuff like this is awareness and all of a sudden a force to change. Because at some point, there are so much, there are so many people coming out and speaking against bad things that eventually change has to come. That's the only good thing that comes out of this, is that when Tebas comes out and acts a fool on Twitter, instead of addressing the problems, all he does is adds fuel to the fire and bring attention to this again from the outside world for them to realize this is not okay. That's the only good thing that comes out of this stuff, is that awareness, awareness, awareness. So my hope is that all of this finally brings about change. But it's going to be a long process and it's not going to be overnight, and I don't expect change right away. And again,
it's long overdue.
Yeah. But again, like, nothing has changed since that derby earlier this year. Nothing. Nothing. Same kinds of chants in the stadium. Same kinds of behavior from fans. And so forth. Doesn't change.
It's been like this so long, Keon.
Say what you want about Real Madrid and Florentino and in action. I will say the greatest thing we've ever done is kick out the ultras from the Bernabeu. Said this many times.
There's still racism in the Bernabeu. I mean, I'm sorry, but there is. Diego, in all stadiums,
Diego,
Keon.
Diego,
it's not
course,
just the ultras.
Diego, of course. But those are the actions you need to take. Like, kick them out. Mm. I always said it. I'd rather have a quiet stadium with zero noise and zero support than a dangerous and violent stadium. And so that was step one. Like, just and keep kicking them out. Keep kicking them out. Like, just have zero tolerance for all of this. Zero tolerance.
Yeah. I mean, Laporta did the same before with the boisterous noise.
Yeah.
Things like that have to be done. Yeah.
A stance, by the way, which Atletico have not taken.
Mm.
That long overdue needs to be taken. So these are all part of Spain. This is all part of it. I'm sorry. I feel bad for our listeners to have. It was such a low energy, kind of negative podcast. But I guess we're just kind of reflecting what we feel and what's happening. So, you know, it's congruent to kind of what we're feeling right now.
It's embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing. And again, it pains me as a Spaniard to see that nothing has changed in so long, since I can remember, from when I was a kid to hearing the chants in the, you know, early mid 90s to now in 2023, still hearing these exact same chants, and just so little action. It's like I said, just very disheartening and it's embarrassing. And, you know, I want to say, like, it's not the majority, but that schiet gewoon niet op, as they say in Nederlands. That doesn't hurry things along. I mean, that doesn't do anything to this conversation, because, you know, it's the loud minority that are just shedding a very bad light on this beautiful country, with, you know, very good people. But man, how can we still be here 2023, Keon, and talk about these kind of things? It's very sad.
Well, now everyone's waiting to see what their response is. And I'm not talking about Valencia identifying a couple people. I'm talking about, like, what is the actual response? What is the actual change? Because so far, Tebas, and by extension, Rubiales, who also says a bunch of things denouncing Tebas, you know, those two, man. Well, a lot of people rushing to praise Rubiales in this. I mean, Rubiales obviously taking the opportunity to Tebas did something wrong. I can
jump on it,
you know.
Yeah,
let's get the fingers out, get on the keyboard. I'm sure, yeah. You know, right now Bartomeu could come out and look like a saint and denounce Tebas. You know, anyone can do that. I want to see the change. I want to see the change from everyone, and I expect nothing, quite honest with you.
Yeah, that's at the end of it. It's that, isn't it? It's like, again, this has been a, such a persistent problem for so many years. You know, changes, para cuando, coño? When are these changes going to happen? When are these punishments going to be loud and clear for all to understand, watch, and actually be implemented? Instead of this just being, you know, a monthly talking point on podcasts like ours or radio shows and TV shows and be clickbaity titles for the digital newspapers, scrambling for people to read their stuff. Like it's more than just a mere hashtag on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like this is, it's now, it's just so way overdue, and cansa mucho. And it's like I said, man, it's embarrassing to me. I'm frankly very, very embarrassed about it all.
Yeah. Diego, I think we got to wrap it up here.
Let's go, man.
Kids are home today. It's a holiday here in Canada. So
happy holiday.
Thank you. What are we doing? We're going to do another Patreon episode later in the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
we do. And also to our Churros patrons listening to this one, if you got questions for us, just submit them on Patreon. Send us a DM on patreon.com/churrosytacticas. We'll answer them on the Friday show, which is exclusively for patrons. Friday or Thursday? I always mix that up. We're doing Friday or Thursday? You always get mad at me for not knowing.
Thursday, bro.
Thursday. Thursday it is. We're back. And anything else? Any other housekeeping? Oh, you forgot something. Campeones.
That one hurt. That one hurt so bad. I got to give it to you. No. Listen.
Campeones de Europa.
Incredible. Fucking incredible. My God, this one hurt big time, man. I'll tell you what, for all the Madridistas listening, I am in such deep awe, much more from the basketball team than the football team. I mean, Real Madrid basketball is something that is worthy of studying as well, man. It's like, because not just, like if I was critical over the Champions League win last season compared, you know, on the last pod, we were comparing seasons, right? I was saying, well, for the football team, for me, not so much has changed between last season and this season. You know, you can't criticize Carlo Ancelotti now. If you were on the bandwagon last season, you should have condemned it then and yada, yada, yada. Well, for the basketball team, it's just like, wow. It's just wow, man. You know, all season long, you're looking at a team that, yes, I mean, they have, you know, great basketball players. Tavares, obviously, Yui, I mean, transforming into freaking Michael Jordan once again in the final. It was insane. And that performance against Barca and the performance against Olympiacos, I truly, these are games that I want to watch again, and I hope there are games, these are games that will be studied for generations to come. Because you can learn so much from how these guys play basketball, how they approach the game, how they approach adversity when they are, you know, on paper, the lesser favorite team, the lesser strong team. And I will give you Madridistas one more treat. It hurts a lot to have to admit, as a full-fledged Kule, Barca fan, hasta la medula.
Hold on, okay? Make sure I'm recording.
Down to the bone. It hurts very much to admit that when it comes to Europe, and I will single out the basketball team, although I could include the recent performances of Barca football team in Europe as well, but it hurts tremendously much to admit that on the European stage, somos perdedores. We're losers. Barca basketball. It's that one hurt. That hurts a lot to have to admit that, but it's true. It's just true. And we let another golden opportunity slip through our hands. I feel so bad for Nikola Mirotic. So bad, obviously, for the reasons that leading into the Final Four for him, you know, coming to Barca Studios, giving us a Braveheart-like speech from the heart, showing that he's truly a good human being, so just such an empathetic person, inviting 30 plus people for lunch that day. I mean, it was amazing. We were like Jesus. It was like Last Supper. He was Jesus, and we were sitting around the table just in awe of this man that was kind and humble and as down to earth as you can imagine anybody be. But you're talking about a basketball superstar. And off they went to Kaunas, to Lithuania, to reconquer and try to claim that oh-so-desired third European Cup, the EuroLeague trophy. And it didn't happen because, you know, Madrid were better. And were better until the very end. And of all people, and this is almost like just what is it called? Like classic Shakespearean tragic. It's tragedy. It's like Greek tragedy. We can look this up in the Greek mythology. Surely there's some you know mythical story that would be an apt comparison to what happened, because of all people, it was actually Nikola Mirotic that didn't have the worst game of all players that night, Kian. He had the statistically worst game of his entire basketball career. Statistically, the worst game of his entire career. Minus two in the player, was at the point index, the valoración. I mean, it was a shit show. It was awful. It was painful to watch, and it hurt deeply. But, you know, all I can this. Do is give it to y'all.
Thank you. Bancos. Thank you so much. As someone who was waving the flag of baloncesto all season and texting you, making sure you're watching, I take great pride in this victory.
I told you. I said no clout. You are not allowed to claim it. No. Well, claim it, buddy. It's you guys deserve it. It was amazing.
Awesome. Beautiful.
Your league. It's a good tournament. It's fun to watch.
And now we turn our attention to the impending Nuggets.
Yeah.
Versus Heat finals, which I think will be fascinating.
You don't think LeBron is going to go out without a fight, right?
He can fight all he wants. He's not winning that series.
But you're going to go out, get a sweep? You got to give Lakers at least one,
either
maybe two.
Sweep or 6 games, 7 games, doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Nuggets, Heat in the final. Be interesting. My boys are here. They're saying, Bubba, let's go. Let's go play. So I'm going to go play.
Go play. Show them Madrid basketball, man. They'll be in awe.
Yeah, we're gonna go. All right, thank you, man. Thank you, Goodbye. Diego.
Yes, you too.
Take care. Peace.
Ciao, buddy. Sports Social Podcast Network.